You're listening to the Auburn Express, powered by
the War Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
All right, let's get into the conversation again. Mike G, you were present at the media viewing window for Auburn football during spring. I think the quote that is getting most people, what's the word that I want to use? Engaged, is that Peyton Thorne has been the most consistent quarterback during the spring practices thus far. And you got an opportunity to watch those quarterbacks throw and go through drills and all of those sort of things. So just tell me what your thoughts are on the quarterback position as you've seen it during these practices.
Okay, so Hugh Freeze, being the stand-up guy that he is, gave us a larger viewing period than normal. While we weren't allowed to take video or photo after the designated 20-minute period, we were out there to watch a little bit more team stuff. And some great things happened and some not so great things happened. Now, I know you talked about on the drop that Freeze mentioned that Thorne has been the most consistent quarterback mm-hmm. so far in camp.
Yep.
He also followed that by saying, well, he kind of should be given the amount of reps he's had.
Right.
Walker White is swimming right now, guys. And you guys know I love Walker White, but he's swimming right now trying to catch up. Everything looks fast for him right now. Holden Gerner, last fall, we got reports that he was one of the better quarterbacks in camp. Again, he looks fairly inconsistent right now as well, too. And then you've got Hank Brown, who, despite his great bowl game, appearance, looks, fairly inconsistent as well in camp to date. So, what Hugh Freeze is saying looks accurate from what I've been able to see. Peyton Thorne does look the most consistent at this point, but also in the practice that we watched, he threw three picks. So, when fans sometimes say, well, if they couldn't beat out this guy, what does it say about the other guys? I think that might be a little bit applicable here.
Yeah.
This might be a time where that is actually applicable, in terms of how the others are doing. Again, Walker White is about where they expected. Like, he shows flashes at times, but at the end of the day, he's a freshman trying to just get adjusted to college life, probably still trying to learn the route from his dorm to his classes. Right.
Yeah.
So he's taking it all in right now. And, Holden and Hank, look, man, if they expect to try to be quarterbacks here, they've got to make a move this spring. And so far through the practices that we see, I think we're like five or six practices in. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that manifests itself when it's scrimmage time. But, I would have to agree with the head coach here on Peyton being the most consistent so far through camp.
Yeah. You mentioned the things that he's done that weren't so good, and of course, that's just one day. I don't know if he says he's been the most consistent. I hope he isn't consistently throwing three picks a day. But what I do hope that means is that he's been the most consistent in understanding what needs to happen and getting people lined up. And that's the stuff that you expect for your senior quarterback to be able to do efficiently better than anybody else out there, which is come in, understand where people need to get lined up, understand how we're supposed to be conducting practice and drills and all that sort of thing. And really, this is the thing that early days, TJ Finley that's the reason why TJ was the guy early days when he was here. It's just he understood how to go out there and do all the stuff that makes coaches feel confident that you know what you're doing, which is getting people lined up and talking, being a vocal during practice. What, though, does it say, I guess, about where this quarterback competition is right now, is the question I have to ask. Because, we've already heard he's in, it's basically his job to lose. Now we've heard he's most consistent. Do we feel as if there's really any shot? I mean, how many practices do we have left here in spring?
We've probably got half the practices left, so they've got about eight practices left.
Is there any real shot in eight practices now at this point for guys to make a significant leap, or are we just saying Peyton Thorne is going to be the guy going into the fall as far as fall
camp? Yes, and let me tell you how, right? when scrimmage time comes, right, when they start to simulate game day type scenarios, the guys who show up there can close the gap, at least somewhat mentally, with this coach. And here's where being the most consistent in practice hasn't helped Peyton. He won the job or whatever he showed in practice, and it didn't manifest itself on the field. So to some extent, these coaches have to be thinking, we don't know if practice Peyton Thorne is going to be game Peyton Thorne. Mm-hmm. And but the same applies to the other guys, Ike.
Right.
Right. You got some guys are just gamers, man. And when the lights are on and you put them out there, they're going to perform. You know, is Hank Brown that guy? To maybe not having the best practices, but when it was his turn to go in, first chance he got, 7 for 9, 132 yards. One of the best stretches we've seen in terms of quarterbacking, since the beginning of last season. So I think that the scrimmages are a chance for the other quarterbacks to show Hugh Freeze that they can do it with the lights on and more game day like situations. Right. So we'll see if that weighs anything with him this year. But if you're Hugh Freeze, you got to be thinking, I've seen this before with this quarterback. And you're trying to get to 2025 any way you can. It's nice if that's going to be laced with wins, but you still have to show something on the field to help move your offense forward. So Peyton isn't going to be the guy that helps you do that. You've got to be doing that math in your head right now about whether practice Peyton Thorne is going to translate to game day Peyton Thorne.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing though. Like, when we talk about practice Peyton Thorne, last season, the conversation around Peyton Thorne was around pressing, right?
Yep.
The question I would have for Coach Freeze if I got an opportunity is he still showing or exhibiting signs that he's pressing this year? And that's really right. Where, not having a good day at practice or throwing picks and everything, that happens. Like, everybody has bad days at practice. I don't know anybody that goes through an entire camp and they're just glowing every single day, going to do wonderful things. The question I would have is, does he look better equipped to handle the reins right now than he did last year, which he didn't get a spring last year for Auburn. So we don't have a spring comparison, but a week into fall practice, where was Peyton Thorne at that point in time? Because you felt good enough a week in to say, hey, he's going to be my guy going into the fall. If we're being honest, last fall, week in right now into spring, where is Peyton Thorne as far as where you want him to be versus where he is right now? That's what I would want to know from Coach Freeze, which I don't know that we got a great answer about that. But, that would be my question.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the tough part about doing this job is that you have to make the tough decisions, not only about what you see, but what you don't see.
Yeah.
Right. You've got to be able to, see you with your third eye in some ways and say, hey, look, I'm going to take a chance here, or we can't afford to take a chance here. That's what he gets paid the big bucks to do.
Right.
So we'll see what decision he decides to go. I think that the important thing is for this year is that whoever he chooses at quarterback, that person helps him move the needle forward in terms of showing what this offense can be. In that same press conference, I asked Hugh Freeze about run-pass ratio. Mm-hmm. And, we did a segment on this. We talked about run-pass ratio. Last year, 61-39. 61% run, 39% pass. You can't win that way.
Right.
And unless you're going to be one of the most outstanding running teams ever.
Right.
So, if that's the way that you're going to play this game in this day and age, you better be – have a championship defense on deck, and you better be able to just line up and guys know what you're doing and be able to just beat your guy off the ball.
Right.
Now, realistically, is that where Auburn's at? I'm not sure, but he did say that his offenses traditionally have worked better when it's closer to 55-45. That's something that we have said, move the needle towards 50-50. So goal for the quarterback this year is to help Hugh Freeze move the needle towards 50-50.
Right.
It wasn't towards 50-50 because they didn't trust Peyton Thorne to throw the ball, period.
Yeah.
And simple. If you want to argue with me about this, argue with a wall. They didn't trust him to throw the ball. So he took the ball out of his hands. And this year, you got to have a guy in there you could trust to throw it about 5% more than they did last year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty evident that, like you said, you can just look at the numbers and how many runs were called and how many quarterback runs were called for a quarterback who had never in his career run that much. It was indicative of the confidence that this offensive staff had in our passing ability. And so, yeah, whether it was Peyton Thorne or the wide receivers or the pass protection, something was wrong in the pass game last year that made coaches say, we're not throwing the ball.
Right.
And so let's pivot a little bit. I still want to stay on the pass game, and let's talk about, we didn't really prep this, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. I want to talk about the other element of this, though, which is the wide receivers.
I love this question.
Where are they right now from your assessment in the spring, right? Like, you've got a lot of youth, a lot of new faces around. You know, you've got Jay Fair, Coy Moore, Camden Brown, who are guys returning. But everyone else in this room, Caleb Burton, I don't want to forget him. Everyone else in this room, though, is going to be new. So how are they adjusting to the new offense, and where do you feel like they are?
So lots has been made about Cam Coleman. And let me tell you, he's the real deal, 100%. But he's still doing freshman things out there as well, too. And I think that fans also need to temper their expectations when it comes to this young man. He's clearly going to be a star here, 100%. You see him in practice do amazing things and then some baffling things at times. And, you know, there's a thought that he can come in and help immediately, and I think that that's an accurate thought. But also, he deserves some grace in terms of being able to catch up to the speed of the game. All these young guys, man, I'm telling you, are just trying to adjust as fast as they can. That's why the spring is so important, if you ask me, Ike, because it's an incredible jump on their, brethren who will be coming in the summer, where they're not getting this opportunity right now to do live game day situations with, college level athletes, in practice. They're not getting that right now. Cam Coleman is getting that right now. Walker White is getting that right now. They're getting really quality reps. Bryce Kane, it seems he's wearing the number 6 this year. So he'll be taking Javaris Johnson's old number, and he'll be out there. But, a lot of buzz about the new guys. Now, let me tell you something. The star of Tuesday's practice was Cam Brown. It was Cam Brown. Going over the back of the defender on a deep ball to make a catch and go to the ground, and all his teammates going wild.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to let you finish. I'm rooting for that kid so hard right now to step up and really show that he can be an SEC caliber wide receiver, despite what people think about him.
Cam was doing the kind of things that garnered him a lot of the hype that we saw last spring. It's just it's not physical with him. It's between the ears. It's mental with him,
right?
I think. And if he's going to get that first shot, I think, to go out there and prove that he can be an SEC wide receiver, his margin for error is going to be a lot slimmer, with these other guys coming up behind him. So what you're going to hear from a lot of AU beat writers and pundits is they've already written off the current wide receiver room. I am of the opinion that a lot of the issues that they had last year, there was plenty of blame to spread.
Right.
They certainly have to take their lumps, but it was not just them. They fired the offensive coordinator, guys. They fired him. They got him out of here. So the system didn't just hurt the quarterback. It hurt everybody.
Right.
So, the consistency that these guys are looking for, that you're looking for from the wide receiver room, it's going to come with a more aligned offensive staff. Derek Nix has been described as a guy who commands respect and attention. They say when he, Michael Riley said, look, when he talks, you just, the world kind of just stops. These guys really like him, and I think that Freeze went out and got his guy. Ideally, he does that year one, but we're here now.
Yeah.
And it seems to be having a positive effect. I think that it's going to have a positive effect on that room. There's plenty of talent at wide receiver room. Obviously, we've been big on Jay Fair from the beginning. He's another guy that these guys aren't just going to come in and jump 2 years of playing experience. As a matter of fact, Freeze has shown no indication in year one that he's willing to do that. He favors experience. He does, and I don't think that he's going to be too keen to throw the young guys to the wolves just to have fans eat them up the first time they make a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he already warned against that, right? Like, of just, yeah. You know, listen, man, they're freshmen. They're going to come out here and they're not going to look like polished professionals. Like, give them some grace. I hope the Auburn fan base is going to allow that, because what we do know is that other fan bases are, the minute Cam Coleman struggles, they're going to label him a bust, and Auburn fans are going to have to fight the urge to either overly defend him early in his career or jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, man, it's not looking so good. We need to, you know, blah, blah, blah. These receivers, you know, like, just let him mature as he goes forward in this process, because it's not going to be about whether or not he's physically gifted enough to do this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So hear me out on this one. Freeze's legacy 100% is going to be what he does at wide with the quarterbacks. You know, that will have a dovetail effect on the wide receivers that are here. He's described his prototypical wide receiver. He has.
Yeah.
It's Cam Coleman.
For sure.
Right? And Cam Coleman, by the way, guys, he's put on a clean 15 pounds since he stepped on practice. Like, clearly. If it's less than 15 pounds, I'd be shocked. And he doesn't look any slower. He just looks, you know.
I heard,
like,
from
ripped.
A pretty reliable source that he's one of the faster receivers in the room.
Yeah. He's got sneaky speed. Yeah. Like, you know, he doesn't look like he's moving because he's got those long legs, but he's moving. And one of the touchdowns he caught during practice was on a deep post, and he just got behind the defense, and, you know, Peyton Thorne threw him a perfect ball, and it was a touchdown. You know, the type of ball that we expected Thorne to throw very consistently last year coming in, because he did that at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. That 40 to 45 yard up the middle post. That just, man, whew, boy, Cam caught that. You know, everybody went crazy. It was just, his talent is clear. But then, you know, we saw other plays where, you know, he made some poor adjustments to balls that were well thrown. And it's, like I said, it's all a learning curve for these young guys. It is. Yeah. So, you know, when you're talking about the wide receiver room, you know, what I think here is, I think that you just got to give them some grace. You have to give them some grace, and you have to be able to say, hey, look, these guys are all extremely talented. They've got good heads on their shoulders, and they've got a culture that's more aligned now than it's ever been. So it's just going to take some time. When I made the 7-5 prediction, and everybody was like, Mike G's a Bama fan, right? This is what it was about. It was about giving those guys some time and grace to be able to develop here. And Hugh Freeze, you and I were on the court with Hugh Freeze. If you follow us on Twitter, you might have heard that, you might have seen us tweet something about this. Ike and I were on the court with Hugh Freeze, guys, after the SEC championship.
Yep.
And I jokingly said to Freeze, hey, coach, when are we going to be celebrating your SEC championship? The first thing he said, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, give me two more recruiting classes.
Yep.
He said, I need two more recruiting classes. And then he followed that by saying, the portal is not the way. It's not the way to do this.
Yeah, he seems very content, excuse me, with the path of, we're going to build this with high school players.
High school recruits.
And we're going to bring people up in a system that we're going to learn. They're going to learn over a period of time, which, again, this tells me that he didn't sell the Freeze four on early success. He sold them on early opportunities.
Correct.
There's no way you can convince me that in his mind he needs a couple of more recruiting classes and he's not going to focus on the portal, and he's telling to guys, we're going to be a dynamic offense the minute you touch down here. It's going to take some time, but if you're willing to put in the work with me, we're going to grow this offense with you as the cornerstone of that. That's what that says to me from hearing Coach Freeze talk about his commitment to the high school recruiting.
Absolutely. It was just very telling. And, you know, that old saying that the first thing that you say is normally, you hear somebody say, is normally the truest. That's what's coming straight from the heart. That's what he believes that.
Yeah.
He believes that. Now, I'm going to take everybody back to the offseason, when everyone was talking about every single quarterback that was hitting the portal, Cam Ward, all these guys. And here at the War Report, we said, Auburn is likely not going to sign a quarterback this offseason.
Yeah.
So, and people were like, how could you go into the spring with only Peyton Thorne? Because they believe that 2025 is the year. That's how. And he, if you look at how they treated 2024, I don't know how you don't think that they're going to just try to get through 2025 with the guys that they have. But it's hard to tell a high school guy, come here, you're going to have a shot, if you're constantly going to the portal to get transfer quarterbacks who have 2 years of eligibility and 2 years of starting experience over their freshman peers. That's tough. And a coach who has shown that he favors that experience. Unless your inexperience, he owns. So if he's going to take a chance on anybody that's inexperienced, he's going to take a chance on a guy that's been in his system for 2 years.
Right.
Right? 2 years from now, if quarterback isn't working out, he's going to take a chance on Walker White.
Yeah.
Not some guy he brought in from the portal. That's how he can continue to go out and recruit high-level quarterbacks from high school.
Correct.
Of all the things Hugh Freeze has done here at Auburn and said here at Auburn, this is the thing that I agree with him on the most. Right? You have the outliers like Lane Kiffin who are consistently going to the portal. But I would argue that Lane Kiffin is probably one of the better developers of talent in college football right now. So he can go to the portal and he can find stopgap guys and put them all together and put a serviceable team together. Hugh Freeze, maybe, look, this is out my bag. What I do is I get kids from high school, I put them in a system, I teach them the way, I get them to adhere to a culture, and when it's their turn, they step up and they ball offensively.
I challenge what he the wants idea to do that here. Kiffin's a great developer of talent, but go ahead.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to argue with you hard. It's not a hill I'm going to die on. I'm just saying, he's found success going to the portal, or maybe evaluator might be a better term.
I'll agree with that. He evaluates talent really well.
Okay, yeah, because that's what the portal is about, yeah. Right? Portal is about evaluation.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe I'll use the wrong word there, but still, he can live that way. Freeze is saying, that's not my bag, and I'm not going to try to do that just because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
That's why he came here.
Yet to be seen whether or not it can be successful in this new era where the transfer portal is what it is, where NIL is what it is, whether or not he needs to adjust his philosophy.
Yeah.
But what I can say is, and this is where I agree with you wholeheartedly, I like the commitment to a direction. He's saying, mm-hmm. This is what I'm committed to doing, and he's like, we're too early in the process for me to pivot now. I made a commitment last year. This was the direction we're going to take. I'm in year two of that plan. I'm not pivoting off of this because I'm not convinced that this isn't going to work. Now, again, will it work? Yet to be seen, but I like the commitment to a direction and a focus on this is how I want to build my program, and we're going to continue to do it that way until it proves to be something that is not going to be successful.
Correct. Correct. So,
and how he measures success may be a little bit different than most fans would measure.
Correct. So, you know, give it time. If you're going to give them time, give it time, because that's a lot of people took my 7-5 ceiling prediction as I think Auburn is going to be bad. And I've tried to explain this till I'm blue in the face. Right. I think you can go 7-5 and still move the needle the right direction offensively. Because the team on the other field is going to have something to say about whether you win or you lose as well, too. And in analyzing Auburn's schedule, they got a chance to start 4-0. But that stretch that starts with Oklahoma at home flows into Georgia, and then you got Kentucky, Missouri, right?
That's right.
So in that stretch, you've got three AP top 15 teams in terms of where they finished last season that you have to play. So if he can split those, that's a huge win. Then I'm like, I'm on the other side because the over-under is at 7.5.
Right.
So you give me two out of those four. Again, Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky. And I'm at 8 wins already.
Yeah.
You go 1-3 in that stretch. To give me the under, 7-5. So we'll see what it's looking like because you open SEC play game 4 with Arkansas. What will that look like by the time you get to SEC play? You know, will the quarterback that wins the job be showing that they're moving the needle the right direction? Because you're not playing the best talent. I'd be interested to see if the pass game looks different versus Cal game 2 this year than it did last year. I wouldn't say it looked great. There were some positive things.
Yeah, no, the run game is really what was moving in that Cal game, and if the turnovers made it look worse, but the pass game was anemic in that game.
Yeah, 14-10 was the score of that game. If they come back and they put 35 on Cal, I might. Again, I reserve the right to change my tune about this 7-5 ceiling.
Yeah.
But so far, you know, with the turnovers that, you know, we've seen some of the same things, and I want, hear me on this one. The other thing that I asked Freeze in that press conference on Tuesday, Ike, was about the volume of attempts that his quarterbacks normally have versus what they gave Peyton Thorne last year. Now, what does that mean? If you're listening to this for the first time, if you're hearing us for the first time, or if you, you know, you've heard us before, you probably heard us say this. Hugh Freeze quarterbacks average over 400 attempts a season. Peyton Thorne had 263 attempts last season.
Right.
263. So he was so far below the Freeze norm. My question to him was, how do you get this closer to what your quarterbacks normally do? You know, he said, we want to produce a 3,000-yard passer here. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
I think fans would love to see that. I made sure to tell him. I said, you know, that's only happened twice in the whole history of the program. He obviously wants to do that more often. I think that's where college football is going. So if you can't do that, it's going to be hard to compete. Again, unless you're outstanding at all the other things. But look, man, here's where Hugh Freeze is at. He's got to find a quarterback that gets him closer, you know, I would say mid-300s in terms of attempts. Because here's the other thing that people don't account for is that 263 attempts is not a lot of targets for your wide receivers.
Correct. And that to me, I think, is the bigger thing this season when we're talking about maintaining a young wide receiver core is how many chances are you giving them to go out there and make plays? And if your quarterback's not delivering that, in a way that you feel comfortable enough to continue with that, that becomes a problem going forward.
By last year's benchmark, right, this you're just not a lot of attempts.
Right.
And I think that that makes your offseason recruiting pitch a lot harder if you're at least not showing that you're trying. And Peyton Thorne, in his defense, he was last year what he's always been, a low 60-something percent passer that will – make some great plays at times, can use his legs, but also will make some frustrating plays at times.
Correct.
The difference was you took about 130 attempts away from him that he's used to getting. That's it. That was the difference. The percentages held true. He didn't hit the yardage like a benchmark because he didn't have enough attempts to do that at that 60% clip.
Right.
So, you know, they've got to find a way to run more, get more plays out of it. Obviously, not going three and out will help.
Right.
You know, having more floats of the offense and moving the ball so that those attempts are there. But, you know, I don't think that anybody has the answer right now as we stand in spring. But you know, that's where the conversation stands. And that's what it will continue to be as we go into those first few games of the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We are going to take a quick break here and get a word from the sponsors of this War Report, Midweek Report. But on the other side of this break, we're going to get to your comments. And I'm going to put Mike G on the spot here.
Yeah.
I want him to give me today a rank in order for the quarterbacks and the wide receiver room on the other side of the break.
All right.
I want to hear what you guys have to think about that. This is the Midweek Report brought to you by our folks at the Opelika in Birmingham Rage Room. All right, let's get back into this. We want to get to your comments. We appreciate you guys jumping in here today. We appreciate guys like Auburn Dad for gifting memberships. That is awesome. So 5 people got free War Report memberships courtesy of Auburn Dad. So you guys make sure you thank him in the comments. Ernest Vaughn, if we don't win the first 4 games by 21 plus, I'll be worried. Until then, let's ride, baby. Listen, those first 4 games are against teams that Auburn should from – you know, we heard a lot last year about from Coach Hugh Freeze about the talent, right, gap of like, you know, these teams are more talented. These teams have a lot of talent. That's not going to be the case the first four games of the season. You know, no disrespect to Cal, but all disrespect to Cal, right? Like, we're more talented at Auburn.
You're not us.
Yeah. So should be able to win those games, particularly at home, right? You don't have the nervous road jitters. You don't have first road game situation for – you've had an entire season to get acclimated to what's going on with this thing. You've had the whole offseason if you're Peyton Thorne, including the spring. You've got – the home crowd that's going to be jazzed up for the first Power 5 contest in Jordan-Hare for that season. There's no reason why Auburn should not be able to go out there and be dominant in those games during those first four, because you got two cream puffs and you got Cal in there, right, who is a, you know, what's just above a cream puff? I don't know. But whatever kind of dessert it is, Auburn should snack on that with no issue.
You got these Twinkies.
So, yeah, I agree with you that, you know, we're going to need to look at those first four games and determine, you know, how much better is this team versus what the first four games looked like last year, because it was a work in progress for sure in those first four games last season.
Yeah, this isn't one of those things where it's like, oh, well, we won, be thankful. No, how you win is going to matter, because it's going to tell you where you're at going into that tough stretch that essentially defines your season.
Yeah, absolutely. Auburn Dad jumps in and says, I mean, Hugh Freeze being paid and doesn't want to get fired, so I'm going to trust him and his knowledge. Hey, listen, here's the thing that Mike and I have been consistent in saying, and I don't want to speak for you, but I do think that I speak for you when I say this, and you can negate it if you want to. Trusting the coach does not mean you don't question decisions that the coach has made.
Correct.
I 100%, you know, listen, I have no choice but to trust. He sees these things way more often than I do. Right. And so, yes, I trust the fact that you've evaluated and XYZ. Where I question is whether or not there is a plan B. And that's always going to be my thing. I really don't care what plan A is. If plan A doesn't work, are you able to pivot to plan B? And to me, that's the mark of the better coaches in any sport, is you get hit in the mouth. Plan A didn't work. How do you pivot and adjust to plan B? That plan B last year was, we're going to throw the ball less, and we're just going to run the ball more with Peyton Thorne, use his legs more consistently. We're going to stop doing the Robbie package. We're going to make sure that Peyton is the guy going forward, so he doesn't feel any, you know, thoughts about whether or not his job is at stake. That was plan B last year. I'd say plan B wasn't great. It was good. Was it great?
Yeah.
Can we have a better plan B ready next season in case it doesn't go well? That's what I'm going to judge this season off of, is effectiveness of plan A, willingness to pivot to plan B.
Absolutely. Plan B is good for a lot of things. So make sure you got a plan B ready.
All right. Super chat in here from Bo X Hunter, who says, can we play Cal at 7 a.m.? Wanted some get back for that Pac-12 after dark last time.
I will tell you, our post game for Cal was at like 2 in the morning.
It was crazy.
And we 1,800 of you guys on for that post game. So it'll be at home this year. Obviously, we'll be there. But I hope the post game is just as lit. Look, at the end of the day, is Cal even in the conference anymore? Are they like
– I don't just, even know what
– they're like homeless, man. Forced independence. I don't – know what's going on there, but this is a team you 100% should beat. Their quarterback is now a wide receiver here. Right. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't even like who's going to be the who is Cal's quarterback coming into this season. I haven't looked at Cal at all, so I don't know anything about them. I will get into that a lot more as the game gets closer, as the season gets closer. Juice High says throwing picks in practice just doesn't sit well with me. I know it's early, but still.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it happens. People throw interceptions in practice. The defense is supposed to be ahead at this point in time.
Yeah, it's funny that you talk about when one side does really good, you're not left with a great feeling either way. Is our defense just that good, or was the offense just that bad? Like, it's hard to do that math. But you can judge whether guys are, you know, where they're supposed to be. Is the ball where it's supposed to be? Was the receiver where it was supposed to be? Look, on one of those picks, it was hard. It was kind of hard to tell whether or not the ball was thrown wrong or the receiver was in the wrong place. So, you know, again, we'll find out when how it translates in the season. But I'm just saying, you know, practice has to matter still, right? Like, I don't know. It's tough math for Hugh Freeze right now.
Absolutely. another vote of confidence for the coaching staff. Tatiana says, let's support him and trust our coaching staff. Him, I assume, is Peyton Thorne, and the trust going for Coach Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, it's what I would say in response to this is support, absolutely. Trust is earned. Trust is earned, right? And, you know, even Hugh Freeze understands this because he said in his opening press conference, he said, give me an opportunity to earn your trust. Mm-hmm. So, you know how you earn it. You go out there, you put something that looks competent, right? And, you know, but the blind trust, you're just not going to get that from a lot of fans, I think. I think that trust is earned over time with success. You know, and you know, you do the right things long enough and it pays dividends and then people trust that, right? Like, I mean, you think that the Alabama fans just trusted Saban? No, he went out there and he won.
Right.
He won and then he won again and he kept winning. And then after years and years and years of that, it was like, all right, just trust the process. Became a whole slogan.
Right.
Right. So if you want people to trust the process, you got to show that the process is good.
For sure. CM Pack jumps in and says, we were 10 to 12 plays away from being 8 to 10 win team last year.
Shrug. Correct. Yeah, and it blows the talent narrative away.
Correct.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. The talent gap, sure, there's a talent gap in some areas, but it's just not as, it wasn't, it, some of that could have been overcome with scheme. And they did have it together, you know. And hopefully they have it together this year. I asked Hugh Freeze during that conference about that press conference about last season. They didn't know what they were. He said that they were trying to figure out what their identity is. What was your identity going to be? Right. And that's when he gave me the answer about 55% run, 45% pass, 3,000 yard passer. That's the identity that they're shooting for. I love that.
Yeah. That is a more potent Auburn offense than Auburn has seen in a very long time.
Sure.
All right, got a few more comments here, but before we get over into those, it's time to put Mike G on the spot. Again, this isn't something we prepped, so this is going to be off the cuff here, and we'll start with, I think, the easier one. I want you to give me your rank of the quarterback room right now, of where it stands, 1 through 4, because listen, there's four guys out there.
We're halfway through the spring, and we have not had a scrimmage yet.
Right.
So, but look. The offseason wouldn't be the offseason if we didn't give our ridiculously too early predictions on where things stand.
Absolutely.
So, this is a show about opinions where you're going to get ours every time you tune in. I think at number 4 right now, much to my chagrin, it's Walker White.
Okay.
Walker, clearly talented, but you can't – right now, there's a clear gap in terms of processing – what's going on out there. Dude, he could close this by the end of spring. He could, but right now he looks like a freshman out there. Talent is great and his ceiling is as high as it ever could be with any quarterback. But right now Walker White's in 4th.
Okay.
I went back and forth over this, right, with Hank and Holden at 3 and 2. But if I had to pick 3 right now, based on what we've seen in practice, and this is a razor thin margin, by the way, it's Hank Brown. Right now, I would put Hank Brown slightly behind Holden. That's it. I've seen Holden do some great things at practice. I've seen Hank do some great things at practice. I've seen both of them be inconsistent at times. You know, right now, those guys are both clearly behind number 1, who is Peyton Thorne. Right. He's just an experienced guy. It shows out there. You know, he's doing whatever he does confidently. Right. When he throws a touchdown, Ike, it's with confidence. When he throws a pick, he throws that shit confidently. Right. Like whatever he's doing, he's saying it with his chest. And, you know, whether that's good or bad, we'll see. But, you know, right now, I think that is the quarterback room right now. Peyton Thorne, Holden, and Hank, you know, look, man, flip a coin between 2 and 3 and Walker White, you know, coming up behind those guys. But like I said, by the end of spring, this could change. And, you know, maybe one pulls away or shows themselves to be more consistent, but we're talking about practice here.
Right.
So, you know, that's where they stand right now.
Okay. All right. Not super surprised by that ranking, just based upon things that I've heard and seen. Let's go to the one I think that is maybe more difficult to judge, but we'll see. And we'll talk about the wide receiver room. There are what, 7 wide receivers right now? When you, let's see, Sam Jackson, Jay Fair, Bryce Kane, Cam Coleman, Cam Brown, Robert Lewis, Coy Moore. Am I missing somebody? I don't feel like I am, other than walk-ons. No. I think those are the 7 scholarship guys. So of those 7 guys, let's go. Like, give me your ranking of where you think they are right now amongst those 7.
Okay. So now you heard us talk about this, and so some of this shouldn't surprise you based on who I've said earlier. Right now, your best receiver is Jay Fair.
Okay.
Right now, your best receiver is Jay Fair. Coming up behind him, as it stands in practice right now, I think that you've probably got a tie between Cam Brown and Cam Coleman. Right. This is how supreme. When I told you Cam is swimming, this is how supremely talented I think this kid is. Right. Like, I think that his talent just stands out in practice. I just saw him make play after play on Tuesday, and I'm like, God, he is so talented. But again, you know, just as we stand today, he's got a little bit of catching up to do. But Cam Brown, he's making the plays that you would expect Cam Coleman to make. It's crazy how similarly those guys are built. He's standing same height, like, and Cam Brown was actually coaching Cam Coleman quite a bit. Those guys get along really great, or seemingly. So, you know, I saw him, you know, patting him on the butt and being like, hey, this is where you're supposed to be. Like, it was, there's a lot of camaraderie right now in that wide receiver room, you know, at least on the outside looking in.
Okay.
So I've got those two up next to each other. Coming in at 4. Man, this is tough. I probably have to go with Robert Lewis.
Okay.
Right. And then Coy Moore after that, and Bryce Kane after that. Right. Like, Kane is out there, and again, like I see, he's got great speed. He's got great speed. You know, he's not as big as the other guys, but he's playing well. And like I said, I mean, don't take these rankings to heart at this point in practice, but, you know, again, so many things go into this. It's not just about physical ability. It's about being able to process the game. And, you know, you're looking at where they're at right now. So it's difficult there. Sam Jackson, guys, is not a wide receiver. I don't know what they're going to do with him. They got to find something to do with him. But, like, if you hear anybody talking about Sam Jackson, you know, and how great he is.
Oh, Caleb Burton. I knew I left somebody out.
Oh, Caleb Burton. Oh, how could I forget Caleb? Ooh, can I slot him in? I would slot him in 4th.
Okay.
I would slot Caleb in 4th. And then the rest as is. Sorry about Caleb.
Yeah, that's on me. Caleb. I didn't think about his name.
Yeah, but like I said, Sam Jackson, I'll be interested to see what they do with that kid. I've heard some people say, oh, Sam, this and that. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't think he can run routes. He's a great athlete. He's a fantastic athlete. I don't know if they use him in utility. Like, maybe they've got some gadgets for him because he's a former quarterback. Like, you know, I don't see who, if you're asking me of all the guys we named, who's spot he's gonna take, I don't know whose spot he takes.
Yeah,
at all. So Robert Lewis, you know, he's about J size, you know, he's got decent speed, but, you know, today does he start over Jay Fair? I don't think so.
No,
at all.
I mean, that's about where I would have expected those numbers to be as well. I am looking forward to seeing the progress of both quarterback and the wide receiver room. Let's go back over to the comment section really quickly before we pivot over and talk a little basketball. James Barnett says, fellas, Coach Hugh Freeze mentioned protection and a couple of times during his presser. At the same time, people have mentioned the lack of talent on the defensive line. So is our front better than what has been mentioned is the question. Defensive front performing better than expected as far as, you know, offensive line not being able to protect well. Does that mean the defensive line might be better than we thought, or is the offensive line just not where they need to be?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that right now. That's a great question. And you know what? Of all the positions, they put the offensive line the furthest away from us as humanly possible, right? The D-line does some drills right in front of us, but it's hard to get a good look at those guys sometimes at practice. So we'll see. Jury's out right now. I think that the offensive line has some decent potential. Malik Blockton, guys, looks like is a little monster right now on D. Oh, my God. Like, that guy just looks like he's ready to tear stuff apart every time I see him. From the first practice we watched, Malik Blockton stood out physically to me. A lot of these guys look physically ready to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they're doing a great job with strength and conditioning. That's obviously offensive and defensive line are two very physically developmental positions.
Right.
You can come in at receiver and if you're super skilled, you can maybe get away with catching up with some of the physical things. Same as some of the other offensive skill positions, but like O-line and D-line, you can't hide strength or lack thereof. You just can't. You're going to get exposed, and those guys look good on both sides of the ball. So I would imagine that some of it might be procedural, like any deficiencies that you see there.
Yeah.
It was interesting. There was a moment with the new D-line coach during one of the drills on Tuesday where he was coaching a guy. I'll leave the player's name out of it, but he said, that's weak. He used some expletives, but he was like, that's weak. He made him do it again. And, they're focused on details right now. They are. And I think that's what spring is for.
Right.
But, he didn't want to let this player move on until he did the thing that he was coaching on right. And his teammate stood there, and the player took the coaching. And then when he got it, he praised him. But it was some hard coaching. I loved every second of it. I thought it was great. And so,
listen, I am I'm a fan of coaches who are, as far as how we're going to play, there's going to be a standard, and every rep needs to look the certain way so that when you get into the game, it becomes muscle memory. This is the time to be able to say, hey, listen, no, we're not just going to let that. I don't know if I was talking to somebody about this, and this is a pet peeve of mine. When I watch people go through drills and I watch them do it kind of lazily, and coaches not saying, hey, no, we're going to do that again because you didn't do that right. Like, I don't like watching players go through drills, particularly in the off season, in a lazy way. Like, do the drill right. There's a reason we're doing this drill. There's a purpose behind it. Let's do it the way it's supposed to be. And I'm much more of a basketball person, so it's like a big thing for me with basketball. So man, I hate watching people go through drills lazy, man, because it's just like, if we're going to do the drill, let's do it right. So we'll see what happens with it.